God's grace and peace be with you. Well, once again, we've got a gospel text that has two stories in it. And, well, hopefully by now you know Mark. You know there's a reason for these two stories and a reason that they both show up in the same reading, even though they seem so very different. But both of these stories do have a theme at the heart. And there are a lot of ways to look at this. But one of the things that struck me about the readings this year was the idea of receiving the Word of God and how we receive the Word of God. How we receive the Word of God. And each of these stories points out a different perspective in our role in that. Now, I'm going to start with the tail end. One of the things that resonated with me as I read the second half where Jesus sends out the disciples and said, don't take anything with you, it immediately made me think of walking the Camino 11 years ago. Actually, at this time, we were in Spain doing this 500-mile backpacking trek on one of the church's oldest pilgrimage routes. And we didn't exactly take nothing with us, but we took very, 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 very little. And we never knew where we were going to stay at night. We had to assume there would be a bed, and yet for 1,000 years there have been hostels for pilgrims. So we figured we'd probably find a bed, and we knew we'd probably find water, and we knew we'd find food somewhere. And we did have two sets of clothes, two sets. So it was pretty extravagant. But it just made me think about what Jesus is asking of his disciples, because they are to carry the Word of God. And this very important thing about how they are to carry the Word of God, which is to go out vulnerable. To go out vulnerable. Now, I got to tell you, beloved, I think the church has struggled with this a little bit, because usually we want to carry the Word of God well-equipped and powerful with amazing programming and an absolutely stunning facility and you know, the best of the staff, which, of course, we have here, at least in the music. I'll go with that. But, you know, churches tend to think the best way to go out with the Word of God is well-armored, with the best of the resources, so that we honor God, right? And we have a powerful and effective and attractive witness. But that's not how Jesus sent the disciples out. He sent them out vulnerable to the need of the world. And I think it's important for us to be mindful of that. Of what it means to be sent with the Word, making ourselves vulnerable to the need of the world. Relying not on what we have managed to accomplish or accumulate or accrue or build, but relying merely on the presence of God's Holy Spirit with us out there to provide for us. And one of the reasons that can become so important is because the folks out there are not always well equipped with all of the resources that they need. And so this is a way that the church is called to go out and meet people where they are. To meet people where they are. Sometimes we forget that our most powerful witness and testimony does not come out of our strengths, but it comes out of our hurts and our weaknesses and our aches and our need. That's where our strongest testimony to God sometimes take place, because the people we are sent to can relate to that. And so they are able to hear our word because they can relate to us. And so we need to be mindful of how we present ourselves to the world, and what it means to let ourselves be sent out vulnerable to the hurts and the needs of the world. Not building up a great, strong, you know, resource and fortress here and saying, hey, you all come and join us, because we've got 19 churches in Glen Ellen doing that, right? But how do we go out? Now that comes back to this first lesson, which seems completely unrelated to this second one, but it pulls us into a different position of not so much being the one carrying the prophetic word of God and doing it by making ourselves vulnerable, which, if you read the Old Testament, most of the prophets were in the same boat, right? And that's where the powerful testimony took place. So it's not how we carry the prophetic word of God, but this first story points out to us some of the challenges in our receiving the prophetic word of God. It's always so amazing to read this story and hear the people in Jesus' hometown who knew him when he was growing up talking about all the amazing things he's done. Now, if that had happened today, there'd be big signs, you know? Like Nazareth, home of Jesus, the miracle worker, you know. State champions would be listed right under that. But now you'd think they would be taking pride, and this is our boy. But no, it says they take offense at him. The Greek word there is one of those that can have a lot of meanings, but and another one of those is they're scandalized by him. We don't know why. We don't know why. Joseph isn't mentioned in the gospel text, so evidently he has perhaps died. There's a good chance he was significantly older than Mary. Jesus is around 30 at this time, so maybe that Joseph has died. Maybe there's still tales and remembrances floating around of how Joseph was surprised when Mary got pregnant. Maybe they're, you know, remembering, well, where did this kid come from? Because we were always a little fuzzy on that one. Jesus doesn't measure up to the respectability that one would expect. He is not the kind of person people were looking for to bring them the prophetic word of God. He could have been considered disreputable in his own hometown. He was certainly considered way too familiar to be this impressive. The people missed the prophetic word of God because of their scorn for the speaker, their dismissal of the one carrying that word, their judgment that this one is not impressive or righteous or authoritative. Well, he was speaking with authority, and they were stunned by that. But he didn't seem righteous or something enough for them to pay attention, which again comes back to us and makes me ask myself, where am I not listening to the prophetic word of God because I dismiss and judge the speaker as being too untrustworthy, too offensive, too scandalous, too unworthy? Where might I be missing the prophetic word of God? Now, as we wrestle with these texts, beloved, it's important to remember that in this season of Pentecost, right, we are going on a journey of growing deeper in our discipleship. So along with the promise and the grace of God, we are also going to be presented with challenges to help us grow in our faith, to help us be more mindful, to help us pay attention to the teacher. And these are two lessons that call us to hear and grow and learn. And of course, we always know that in the midst of the good news, there needs to be some good news. Along with the challenge, we need to know that there is grace and mercy in this text. And at the same time that it challenges us, it still comes with the same word, that this is our Savior calling us and sending us. This is the one who already knew us before he decided to welcome us in baptism, before he decided to accept us as his own, before he decided to give his life for us. He knew who you are. He knew who I am, and he did it all anyway. His love for us is found in this. He sets these challenges before us, knowing that we do not ever meet them perfectly, but he knows we can grow. And as we grow in our faith, we know how we are centered and nested in the heart of God. And we find our peace there, and we find our courage there. And the more we find our peace and our courage centered and nested in the heart of God, who saves us and teaches us and sends us out vulnerable to the world, the more we know blessing, that the reign of God breaks through right here. God's grace pours out upon us when we hear these lessons and when we take on these challenges, when we seek to understand and to grow. God's grace pours upon us and goes with us every step of the way, every interaction we have, every word we speak, every voice we listen to. God's grace goes with us. Thanks be to God.